I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Author, journalist, and screenwriter Todd Babiak joins me to talk about his new novel, The Book of Stanley, published by McClelland & Stewart. The book retails for $32.99. It tells the tale of Stanley Moss, a retired florist in Edmonton, who experiences a boom, a flash, and an amazing transformation. His cancer is in remission, and he can fulfill people's dreams, read their minds, and equal the strength of 10 other men. It is a humorous book filled with satire and fantasy from one of the country's foremost satirists. His last novel, The Garneau Block, was long-listed for the Giller Prize. His first novel, Chokehold, was a finalist for the Writers' Trust Fiction Prize. He is also a columnist for the Edmonton Journal, and www.toddbabiak.com is his website. I am pleased to welcome to the Plant on the Line program Todd Babiak. Good morning, Mr. Babiak.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. How did this book come about? I guess when we... when you have a bestseller, is it easier to get published again?
I guess it is, because they know you have a little bit of an audience. But as for how it came about, it just, if writing's a bit of a sickness, you just have to keep going and hope that your next book is as good as the last one. In fact, I think it's better, so every book I'm writing, I hope, is better than the one before.
Is there a great deal of pressure because you've had a bestseller before that this does well or this is as good, perhaps, or better?
Well, there's pressure anyway. I just don't want to write a bad book, so I always have pressure on myself. If there's pressure from the market or from the publisher, that's just extra. It's just extra juicy pressure for me to deal with, and I probably have mild obsessive-compulsive disorder. So either way, I'm just filled with pressure and guilt and self-loathing, and that drives me.
You're a columnist in the Edmonton Journal. How often do you appear there?
I appear usually about three times a week in the Journal, and it's kind of a culture column, so it's about anything related to culture in its broadest sense. So it's a lot of fun to do that, and to be honest, you know, even if your books are bestsellers, you're not generally making enough money to survive in an expensive province like Alberta.
Do you prefer one or the other?
Well, I probably prefer writing novels. In a perfect world, maybe I would write novels first and do film and television second, and then journalism third, and sort of pick my journalism that I do. But I just can't do that right now. And so journalism pays the best. You have the bigger readership that way, and it's also fun. So, you know, I'm having fun right now, and then maybe later in my life I can switch the priorities a bit.
This novel, The Book of Stanley, did this grow out of some of the columns that you've written in the paper?
No, actually. Well, before 2002, I'd never been to a funeral. And then in between 2002 and 2003, I guess, or the middle of 2003, my dad, my grandfather, my grandmother, and two uncles all died. And so I thought about death a lot, and I thought about religion a lot. Everyone around me, it seems, was turning to religion in a time like that. And so I guess I wanted to think about death and what it means in our lives and what it means to be a human being with infinite thoughts and infinite dreams and a finite life. So since I write kind of serious / funny, naturally, that's what I did with this. So I just wanted to create my answer to I guess, death and religion and hope.
How did you avoid not going to a funeral? Until 2002, I mean, you must have had friends, relatives that have died, or family friends?
I didn't.
Really?
One of my grandmothers died when I was 8 years old, and my parents didn't take me to the funeral, so really, I'd never been to a funeral. I'd heard about them and seen them on television, but I'd never been to one. I'd been lucky, and I was going really well. No funerals in my life till 2002, and then all of a sudden it was death galore, and since people knew I wrote for a living, of the people who died, I did three of the eulogies, and that was problematic too. You just don't know what to say in that situation. So since I guess I turned to art as a reader and as a writer, that's what I did. So The Book of Stanley came out of that. And I didn't want to write something dour and horrible. I wanted to write something that had a lot of jump and asked lots of questions. That was a kind of a carnival of relativity, which all good novels are, I think. That's where it all came out of. Yeah, I was just lucky.
Are you an agnostic?
Yeah, I probably am an agnostic. People ask me if I've, you know, when the book has come out, if I'm an atheist or if I despise religion. Neither of those things are true. I'm I can't really close anything off. That's why I'm an agnostic rather than an atheist. I like the idea of, well, of possibility too much to close it off and be an atheist, I guess.
In the press release that your publisher put out, they mentioned Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, two successful authors this past year with books about religion and, I guess, their distaste for it. Do you think this book fits in that genre, if you will? I mean, this is a novel, but do you think you say something about where we are in terms of how we feel about religion in a general sense as North Americans, I guess, or as people in the Western world?
Well, I would certainly agree with those authors that organized religion is, well, in Christopher Hitchens' world, that it poisons everything. It does. The problem with religion, I think, is, as I was saying earlier, we have the capacity for infinity, but we're finite and flawed. And so inevitably, when we create a religion, we create something dangerous and ugly, ultimately. We're political creatures, and we're greedy creatures, so we take advantage of each other. We kill each other, and we compromise our humanity instead of transcending it and making it something better. The ideas in all of these religions can be beautiful and wonderful, but I think if any of the religions had been successful, storytelling would have stopped altogether. You know, we continue to write stories, to explore what it means to be a human being, where organized religion today endeavors to stop all of that. They're in conflict with one another. It causes hatred in the end, and like I said, it doesn't make us any better, which is what I think art does at its best. It makes us better.
Were you brought up this way, or is this something that you've come to as you've grown up and you've come to your own?
Well, there was a lot of different religions in my family. I come from a varied family religion-wise, but my mom, who was maybe the person who got me reading in the first place, was frightened by religion, so maybe I got it from her a little bit. I grew up in a quasi-atheistic household, I guess, and my mom was, because she'd seen what had happened to some of her relatives and friends, who'd become born again, this or that, and suddenly didn't like her anymore, or disapproved of her lifestyle, or whatever it was, she thought it was dangerous. And so when I was in my teen years and exploring everything as we do in our teen years, she tried to keep me away from religion. But I, read as much as I could because of that. So my interest in religion, I think religion is fascinating, maybe came from my atheist mom.
The novel is called The Book of Stanley, 3299 for McClelland and Stewart. Talk to me about some of these characters that you've written about in this novel. Stanley, he's 60, is he?
Yeah.
Something like that. He's also an agnostic as well. Did you think you wrote some of yourself into him?
Inevitably I did, and also my father and my grandfather. If I admire Stanley, and I do, I borrowed a lot from people I admire, I guess. He's a regular man, he's a florist, and something extraordinary happens to him. Rather than, in most of the religions we're familiar with, a special baby is born, a mysterious baby is born. Well, it's not sort of the way it happens with Stanley. He doesn't ask for this, and he doesn't know what's happening to him, which creates all kinds of marital strain. His wife Frida, even though he's dying, as the book begins, when these new powers come to him, she ultimately just wishes she could have her retired florist back, as he's creating a religion in Banff. With this varied cast of characters who are drawn to him.
Did you think that Banff is the most sacred place on Earth?
Sure. That's what happens in the novel. Alok is one of the characters. He's sort of a New Age guru. He thinks that. And I do think Banff is special for reasons that I explain in the novel, or that Alok explains. It was sort of the beginning of Canadianness when Banff was, quote, discovered by the railway workers. The sulfur hot springs was discovered, they wanted to own it privately. And a lot of people were fighting in court. I own this place, which is more of the American model. And the Canadian government, at a time of when it was just, we didn't even know what Canada meant, stepped in and said, no one's going to own this place. Canadians, all Canadians are going to own Banff. And it was the first national park in Canada and one of the first in the world. And I think that says something special about Canada, and it all located in this national park. And Lake Minnewanka, which is close to Banff, is one of the oldest human settlements in North America. And the Aboriginal people have always called it a haunted place, and that fishmen inhabited it, and there was something special underneath it. So, I mean, all of this, I think, was important to me. And if the book is a satire in some ways, it's the way that religion mirrors our tastes and mirrors the market. So, you know, for a lot of people, even though they might go to church, shopping is really their religion. And so Banff, this beautiful place, has been spoiled in some sense by multinational companies in a strip. You know, it's become this place where people go to shop, not a place where you go to explore the grandeur of nature. So, again, this is the way that human beings take something beautiful and magical and pure, authentic, and ruin it with commerce. So, and I think that's what happens with religion as well. We're too messed up. And, you know, as much as I love humanity, and make stories possible, it's just so frustrating to be a human being sometimes.
Talk to me about this character, Tanya. She's a TV producer, is she? She sort of hitches her wagon to this star that is Stanley. She's also from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Did that mean anything?
No, not really. I just, I wanted to set the, I've lived in lots of parts of Canada, and I wanted to bring my characters from those cities. And in my film and television side career, I come to Vancouver a lot, and I've met a lot of people who I think are a little bit like Tanya. And Vancouver has this stereotypical person living in the West Coast is relaxed and laid back and sort of granola-y, whereas I haven't found that at all. I think Vancouver is filled with ambitious people and inspiring people in that sense too. So I think Tanya, she's a marketing executive for a television company. She sees her opportunity in Stanley to become one of the most famous people in the world, to become the Saul / Paul of this new religion, and she jumps at that opportunity, and she provides, I think, all of the savvy that they want, that they need to create this actual religion and bring the world to Banff, which is what she does with Stanley.
Your previous film and television work, did that color this novel, that you perhaps made it more visual? In reading it, you really do get a sense of what these people look like or what the scene looks like.
I don't think so, and my film and television work is fairly limited. I've written some screenplays that haven't been produced, won an award, but that's as close as I've come to success, really. Things have been optioned but not made. I think it's just the way I like, the books I like to read are very visual, and I like to be able to imagine and picture in my head what I'm seeing, and some writers don't do that, and I generally don't like their fiction. I like writers who can create and stimulate my five senses, so if I can smell a place and see a place and hear everything that's happening there, then I'm an engaged reader. So in my fiction, that's what I try to do as successfully as I can, I think. So, you know, if you read even Charles Dickens, writers who were writing Shakespeare before film and television existed, successful fiction brought you there using your five senses, which is what film does. It's a visual version of an art form that has a long, long history.
Has the book of Stanley been optioned?
It has, and CBC is developing it as a TV series, actually, and I hope to be involved in that as much as possible.
Did you see a series in this?
Well, I didn't at first. It's not natural. It's not the first thing you think about. The first thing you think about is maybe a feature film, because it's closed off. But, you know, if someone comes to me and says, we're thinking of doing a series based on this, you sort of go and you lie awake at night and think, how could this work as a television series? And so I worked with the producer, and we kind of came up with a concept using all of the characters in the scenario of these people starting a religion. And because, you know, usually a television series has to, it's not a serial, it has to end in the status quo. So you have to think of a way to have each episode sort of end up with a conclusion. So every week would have to conclude. That's the hard part when you take a novel like this. But, you know, you just have to be open to it and see that, you know, if there's a television series called The Book of Stanley, it's not bastardizing the novel. It's just another another way to tell this story.
Your writing has been compared to Garrison Keillor and Amerston Maupin and even Woody Allen. How do you react when people compare you to those sorts of accomplished writers? Even Woody Allen, an accomplished writer, filmmaker.
Well, positively, of course. I'm thrilled that people see that in the work, and I admire all of those writers, of course. What's interesting, I think, in Canada is if you look at, I was happy to have the Garneau Block was shortlisted for 3 awards and won one of them. The problem, I think, in Canada is we don't recognize something that is humorous. We don't recognize the truth in humor, which is an odd thing in our fiction. It seems that the really kind of the dour fiction-seeming fiction is the stuff that really gets rewarded. Whereas in the U.S., like you notice, those are American writers, or in the U.K., books that are funny can still be taken seriously. We just haven't come to that point in Canada, and I'm not sure why. I mean, Mordecai Richler was successful, but I don't think he was successful because he was funny necessarily. But he's the only one I can think of who writes comedic fiction who's taken seriously by I guess the Canadian literature establishment. It's an interesting thing. I'm not sure. I'm not making a case for myself. I just think it's interesting.
Did you set out as a writer to be like them? Is that the goal, perhaps, or is it just to carve your own little niche and be yourself?
Oh no, yeah, I just want to be myself. I read a Garrison Keillor book a long time ago, and Amerstead Maupin. I read The Night Listener, which isn't anything like anything I've written. Woody Allen, I just have admired for a long time, but I don't see obvious influences in any way. Actually, there are other writers who I feel are an influence, like someone like Mordecai Richler, for example, who takes a community or an issue, a set of characters, and blends seriousness and comedy and satire, the deepest concerns we have as human beings, and just makes it a really entertaining read. That's ultimately what I want to do, and that's what I think novels do, and they explain what it's like to be a human being today in this place called Canada. That's all I can really write about. A lot of times where our fiction set in contemporary Canada isn't rewarded, and I don't mean that for me, I mean that for other writers. It's a strange thing.
As a writer, how important is it for you to read? And how, did you do it often? Do you do as much as you'd like?
Well, I'd probably like to read and write all day. That's all I'd want to do, ultimately, but you do have to live your life. Reading is essential, and as a writer, if I'd go back and think of, okay, what did I do to become a writer? All I did was read. In junior high school, I started reading my mom's horror books, and then at one point, accidentally, I found Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut, and that changed my life. It actually transformed me as a person. And since then, I've been a voracious reader, and I've always wanted to be a writer, even though for most of my career in university, I didn't think it was something you could actually do with your life. And I'm still skeptical about that.
What are you working on now, Todd?
Well, I'm working on a new novel, and I'm also, thinking about and making notes about this Book of Stanley TV series possibility. So those are the two things I'm working on, and I have two other novels, great ideas for novels, I think, and an idea for a feature film. So there's no shortage of ideas. It's just a matter of sitting down, suffering, and getting them written. Writing, as Joseph, is a heartbreaking and ridiculous thing to do with your life, but, it's the greatest thing you can do.
And you're having fun doing it, are you?
I'm having a blast. I'm in Vancouver, a city I love, and I should be out exploring, but instead I'm sitting in my hotel room writing this morning, and that says it all, probably. I'll probably live a less full life because I'm poisoned with the need to write.
Todd, I really appreciate you coming on today and talking. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed reading the book.
Well, I really appreciate you speaking to me. It's a great thing, and your site's terrific.
Thanks very much. The book is called The Book of Stanley, $32.99 for McClelland and Stewart. ToddBabiak.com is the website. I'm Joseph Plata.